You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from the Fanatical Fish Gallery here in Butternut, Wisconsin. Calvin is back at the ranch in Racine at Radio Park, and we are on the road. It is day two of On the Road with Matinee on Air and the Todd Alba Show. If you are in Butternut or Hayward or somewhere nearby, come on out and see us. Again, we're at the Fanatical Fish Gallery here in Butternut. We're going to be talking to the owner. Kelly Meredith is going to be joining us after 9:35. If you look behind us, you can see some of Kelly's incredible work that she does for cities and towns all across the country.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful.
It's really cool, and she's got some beautiful, beautiful artwork here. There's stained glass and painting and jewelry and all kinds of things. I may have to do a little shopping after we get off the air.
We're really, really excited to be here. It's been a great time so far. We got into Park Falls last night a little bit late. You guys had a restaurant adventure.
We did.
And it's been wonderful. And we just want to thank everyone for being so lovely. And Darla Isham, who has been a key part of this portion of the
and
journey.
And Big G.
Yes. And Big G, of course, as well. Big G will be, Darla will be joining us a little bit later in the show to talk about everything that's great Park Falls and Butternut.
Yep.
And Jane, this is important. This is an important day.
It is an important day.
Because you've now reached location two of your favorite places on earth that you have yet to visit.
I know. So and Butternut is off the list.
Butternut is off. And that means we're going to be taking applications for location three, and I would like to put forth Wanderoos, if only for the name itself.
I'm on board with
okay,
that.
Okay, great. If you have other suggestions, if you want to tell us places that we should visit that have, you know, lovely magical quality about it, even just a fun name like You Bet Wisconsin, UBET.
That's another one that's on the list.
Yep, you can absolutely get in touch with us by, you can text us or call the number the same, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or get that Civic Media app on your phone, and you can text and or call as well, or leave us a voice note.
Yep, we love that too. Yes. You can also leave a voice note. Hour number two, Brittany Merlot will be here with Weather and Wine, so we'll get a little update, find out what's going to be happening across the weekend here, across the state. And we're also going to be talking to Lena, who is with Lena's Northern Pines Resort. We're staying there tonight and tomorrow night. From what I have seen on the web, it's on Lake Butternut.
There's a lake.
Butternut has a lake.
Of course they do.
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
And so we're going to be staying at Lena's Northern Pines Resort tonight and tomorrow. We're going to be talking more about that in hour number two. And then Darla will be here for our audio sorbet portion. Another thing we're going to do after the 10:30 news, because Greg, Todd and I found out shockingly.
What?
Does not know any Ole and Lena jokes. People, how is this possible? It's just wrong.
Hey guys, welcome to a segment called Greg Gets Made Fun Of, and he just found out about this segment 4 seconds ago.
He doesn't know. He's never heard an Ole and Lena joke. So after 10:30, start thinking about your favorite Ole and Lena jokes now. We would love to have you call in with those for our audio sorbet segment after the 10:30 news.
Are they FCC compliant?
Todd, most Ole and Lena jokes are pretty clean.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, we would ask you to keep the Ole and Lena jokes clean. I think they usually are.
Yeah.
But that's coming up a little bit later on in the show. And then we will wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Oh Nuts edition. It's a good one. I hope you can stick around for that. Did want to start off just with a little bit of politics before we turn to our attention to Butternut, now my second favorite place I have now been. With a little clip, I saw this morning as we were just setting up here. Mark Pocan.
Oh boy.
And Derek Van Orden had a little exchange yesterday, and it has made national news. It's in the Daily Beast.
Yeah.
So, Calvin, I believe we have that clip. Let's play that clip from Wisconsin's Mark Pocan and Wisconsin's Derek Van Orden.
I
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, nice move pulling up in your bike.
I mean, in his suit.
But anyway.
You pull, I don't really care what you wear on your motorcycle, but it was the whole like vroom vroom louder while they're talking. And by the way, another person in that shot is Tony Weed, a first time congressman as well.
From Green Bay.
And he's like vroom vrooming over them, and he knows what he's doing. It's just that bully behavior he's doing.
And I guess I just don't see how this works in Derek Van Orden's favor. Because again, if you want to come out and defend this measure that you just voted for, this is your opportunity, instead of just coming again with more insults. Granted, they've been insulting each other back and forth on social media. This has been going on for a while.
Yeah, and to be absolutely fair, Mark Pocan is incredibly good at his last name is Pocan. He's good at poking.
Yeah, he is.
He likes to do that on Twitter. He gets a fun reaction, but he also has serious questions. Why won't you debate this? Why won't you do town halls? Because the first question I think anyone of any real value is going to say, you've told us SNAP benefit. I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but I think this bears repeating. It needs to be shared with your friends, especially those who might be on benefits. He said in a meeting, SNAP benefits would not go down a single nickel. Then he voted for the budget blueprint. Then he voted for the budget on the whole. Then after the Senate passed it back to the House 2 weeks ago, he voted for it again. And those measures to cut those benefits are inside that big bill for billionaires.
Yes.
And so he needs to stand up and defend that. And him vroom vrooming his vroom vroom while people are trying to have a conversation and then just walking up and just spouting nonsense, a distinguished gentleman, it does not make him.
Yeah, again, I don't think for people who like that kind of attitude,
yes,
it's going to be great for DVO. He really took it to him and he stuck it to Pocan, and there are folks who will find that impressive, no doubt.
Yes.
But again, I don't know. I think I would love to see our political discourse be a little bit more elevated.
Well, and I'm just thinking about the people in Congressman Van Orden's district, the farmers, the teachers, everybody who needs a little bit of help, needs a little bit of support, and wants to feel like that their representative are working on their behalf. This does not do them any good, and really, like the attitude of just pushing and pushing and shoving, it's all bully behavior. And he is really, I mean, if you look at his Twitter, if you look at and his Facebook, I mean, he's called out Pat Krylow quite a few times, and Pat has just told the truth.
He's told Pat to kick rocks.
He's told Pat to kick rocks. He's told Dan to kick rocks. He doesn't come with substance, so what he does was he just flicks back, and that doesn't solve anything. If you have policy, you know, and if you have policy you want to defend, go for it. Last week he was talking about the $1 billion for Medicaid in Wisconsin, which had never been brought up before after the state budget and the federal budget had been passed.
Right.
He talked about and there was a story that came out about a week and a half ago of him getting on the phone with Tony Evers saying that he needs to save the rural hospitals. Well, guess what? We're going to have a harder time saving those rural hospitals when you vote for a bill that's absolutely gutting access to medical care, especially in the rural areas, which is needed most. When they close a hospital, that means folks have to drive maybe 30, 40, 50, an hour longer,
if not longer.
To get proper medical. And I'm sorry, I'm getting very ranty right now, but I've had like a lot of coffee. But I also want to put into this conversation too is when we talk about closing hospitals, we have to talk about the clinics that close too. Those other smaller resources that really help people get the care they need, those are gone as well.
Yes.
And those are gone because of the big bill for billionaires that Derek Van Orden voted yes for. And yeah, your motorcycle is beautiful. It vroom vrooms all the vroom vroom day. But really when it comes down to it, can't you defend your positions?
That would have been it. Again, this is your opportunity to at least try and get some shots in there about what this will do for people and how good this is.
Yes.
That was your chance. And instead, again, he just took the opportunity to come in and lob some cheap insults and kind of cast aspersions over Pocan's business and how he runs his business.
Yeah. I mean, and I will say, Spokane took a dig at him for drunkenly tweeting at 1:30 in the morning. And I don't know if that's true, and I'm not going to say it is or isn't because I don't know. But while Spokane can definitely have some fun, he is also going to talk about the topics, the subjects that really affect us as Wisconsinites. And I know that because he comes on our show. He comes on Pat. He's on Civic Media,
yes,
talking about the important aspects of his work. And Derek Van Orten does not do that. He doesn't show up to town halls. He likes very
curated audiences.
Yeah, Twitter is his town hall apparently, yeah.
And his Facebook page.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, again, you had a chance, I don't know, to at least say something with some substance, mm-hmm, and you just came back with, I guess, what we've pretty much come to count on Derek Van Orten for, is acting like a bully.
I mean, at least, I'll give him this, he's staying on brand.
That's true.
Yeah.
He is consistent.
He's very consistent.
He is absolutely consistent. That's one thing we can count on him for. hey, when we come back, we pay taxes.
I do. I pay.
I know, I pay taxes.
I'm probably going to have to pay more now.
Yeah. Well, there's an article that hit in the Journal Sentinel this morning that I think is going to make a lot of us go, what? How are we spending, how are our lawmakers, rather, mm-hmm, spending our tax dollars? We've got some details that are coming up. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are on the road with the Todd Albaugh Show, coming to you live from the Fanatical Fish Gallery here in Butternut, Wisconsin. Come
on, we did it, Butternut,
and say hello. We have coffee. We have Kringle. We would love to meet you. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Mock coming to you live from the Fanatical Fish Gallery here in Butternut, Wisconsin. We got Sweet Calby back in Racine mining the board at Radio Park. And we are, like I said, on the road with the Todd Albaugh Show. We were at the EAA Museum yesterday. We had a little weather we had to deal with and then made our way up to Butternut last night. By the way, I wanted to give a shout out to John from Oshkosh, who said we should check out Players in Oshkosh. We had lunch there yesterday.
Oh my God, I had wonderful wings.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah.
So thank you for that heads up, John. And we just got another text come in. Hi, it's Isaac from Baraboo. Avoca is a beautiful city in Iowa County with a tributary running just north of it that you can float down the Wisconsin River.
Hey, Todd, can we do a live show floating down the Wisconsin River?
We'll work on that. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would
if
be
we could
amazing.
Actually do it while we're floating. That might be challenging. That yeah. We could give it a shot. Thank you so much for that, Isaac. We will put that on the list. Avoca.
I thought that was a restaurant. It sounds like a very fancy restaurant that I would never be allowed to.
Welcome to Avoca.
Avoca.
Thank you very much.
Why aren't you wearing a suit?
If you have any other suggestions for us, please text them in at 855-752-4842. Coming up in just a little bit, Kelly Meredith, who owns the Fanatical Fish Gallery, is going to be joining us. If you are watching on the live stream, you can see this incredible work behind us. She does murals of important people from various communities, and she does this work for communities all over the country.
And from what she has, well, she'll talk more about it, actually. I'll let her tell the story, but yeah, it's and they're when we drove in, it was like they're just everywhere.
They're just beautiful. So Kelly's going to be joining us coming up in just a little bit. Wanted to at least share this with you, and we'll include this in the show notes so you can read the article, because I do think it's worth taking a peruse. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Francesca Pica, Mary Spacuzza, and Ann Kleber with the byline, Wisconsin legislature spent $26.2 million in taxpayer money on private attorneys since 2017. $26.2 million of taxpayer money we have shelled that out to private law firms since 2017. This is pretty astonishing.
Jane, is it?
The vast majority of the spending just over $25 million, happened after Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call were elected in 2018, defeating, of course, former Governor Scott Walker and Attorney General Brad Schimmel. The hike in spending followed a law that was passed by Republican lawmakers in December of 2018, giving the Assembly Speaker and the Senate Majority Leader the authorization to hire private lawyers with taxpayer money.
Well, it's good to know they at least know how to spend some money.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Todd Alba's former boss, Dale Schultz, who retired in 2015, slammed the skyrocketing legal fees as a, quote, spectacular waste of taxpayer dollars. $26 million could have bought a lot of child care, could have bought a lot of health care, could have bought a lot of education, unquote. Yes.
God bless Dale Schultz.
Seriously.
Seriously. Like, I mean, it's, I can't even imagine, and we can have this conversation another time when we're not in Butternut, and but like the ability to be a Republican in that, in I think in a more traditional format is just impossible. And the only way you can speak truth to your own power is by doing it, because he's not elected and he doesn't worry about primaries, but
right.
This man speaks the truth. I mean, he's right. He's absolutely right. This is not a right or left statement. This is a statement that cares about people and the people of Wisconsin.
That's a lot of money, my friends.
$26 million on lawyers.
Since Evers took office, Evers has spent about $1.7 million on legal fees to outside groups. He often, however, relies on the State Department of Justice to represent him in his office. The hourly rates, though, that Evers pays are significantly lower than the rates that get billed to the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
Evers' office says it tries to minimize costs to taxpayers by negotiating down a lower rate. Not so much so with the Republicans.
And I think part of that has to be the fact that if we were in a place where this was Tony Evers' office has spent $26 million on lawyers, it would be a statewide scandal.
Yes.
It would be treated as such.
Yes.
I think one of the reasons why Tony Evers and his office and his staff choose to do what they are doing as far as expenditures on lawyers is because they know if it gets too high, that will become the story. Not about what it's for,
yes.
But that's the story of spending the money. Whereas Robin Voss, like I said before, you know, we have lead that needs to be cleaned up, water that needs to be cleaned up,
hospitals,
we got
child care,
we all this stuff. But it's good to know they know at least how to open the purse for something.
Again, according to this article, Governor Evers tries to negotiate lower fees so taxpayers don't have to pay so much. Mm-hmm. The Republicans, however, and again, in this article, there are more specifics about the firms that the GOP chooses to use. They pay $500 an hour.
Jeez.
And there are a couple ties.
Yeah, that's
as well. Like some little friendly work.
I was going to say.
Some little friendly jobs going to certain law firms and things like that. But again, I highly encourage you to read this entire article. It's very, very interesting. I would be just as outraged if the Democrats were doing it.
I would be disappointed. This
shouldn't be a thing.
There it is. Political edition.
Be a thing.
Stick around for This Shouldn't Be a Thing at 10:50 this morning. Oh, Nuts Edition.
Oh, Nuts Edition. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. When we return, we're talking about the Fanatical Fish Gallery here in Butternut, Wisconsin. Don't go away. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you live from Butternut, Wisconsin. We are at the Fanatical Fish Gallery here in downtown Butternut. If you are in the area, we are here until 11 o'clock this morning. Stop on by. We brought Kringle.
We
have coffee and much, much more. And so much to see here at the Fanatical Fish Gallery. Are the owner of this place, good heavens,
Kelly
sitting
Meredith.
Right next to me, Kelly Meredith, Good morning. How are you? Thank you so much for hosting us. We really
appreciate
it.
Oh, thanks. You guys have been fabulous. Like, nice to meet all of you. You're all very interesting.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
We fake it well.
You fake it well. Okay. Well, good job. Way to do it.
How long have you had this place here in Butternut?
I've had this since 2014. I moved in here in October of 2014. It used to be a heating and plumbing store.
Okay.
And so it was just really cool. Is it
one of the older buildings here in Butternut?
Not exactly. My house is actually one of the older. My house is an old saloon. So yeah. Woo.
Fantastic.
Probably from the early 1900s. But this is one of the older ones. And I only live three doors down. So when this came open, I was like, hey, let's go.
It's meant to be.
Yes, it was.
Are you a native of this area?
I am not. I wish I was. I have family connections. I had an aunt and uncle who lived here in Butternut that people still remember. Otto and Gladys Schakel. People who are old will remember them. But I was not lucky enough to grow up here. I grew up in Milwaukee.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So when you said Milwaukee, I was like, yeah. and then later on, my dad moved us up to Sturgeon Bay. That's where I graduated high school.
Okay.
And then I went to Madison and lived in Madison. I'm a Badger. Yay, UW Madison. Go Badgers.
You're in good company, Todd.
Go Badgers.
Badger too. Yeah,
yep. And then I met my husband there, and we always talked about, gosh, we'd really like to move north. And we were both teachers, and so we made a deal: whoever gets a job first wins. And so my husband got hired in 1991 to be the English teacher here, and so we moved up. And then I taught art in Phillips. So
that's great.
So that's our quick little story how we got here. But we love it here. We mm-hmm. just love it here. I can't say enough lovely things about.
And what would you, if you're trying to explain it to people, how would you explain it to them, Kelly? What makes this so unique and fabulous?
Okay, I have said this in other interviews. Butternut is a kind of place where if you get sick, the entire community will get together, they will throw a fundraiser, they'll take care of your pets, you better show up with a wad of cash and a dish to pass. And you don't ask any stupid questions like, how did you get here? Why are you ill? No, we just jump in, we're a family, we just jump in and we help each other, we just help each other, we're there for each other. And it's incredibly safe. I mean, it's really... Could keep your doors unlocked and everything, you'd be fine.
Although everyone locks their doors in Butternut, just so you know, if you're thinking about doing something nefarious, don't even try it.
All right, Jane, my goodness.
Just saying.
So it's a very, I find it to be a very welcoming, accepting community, and runs against the stereotype of
it does
because small people think small towns everybody's narrow-minded blah 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 they wear white hoods. No, it's not the case. Small towns are much more progressive than I think people give them credit for. And I always like the fact that in a small town you get more, hard to explain, but like more authenticity. Across the street is the Butternut Feed Store, which is like the coolest place in the whole wide world. Mm-hmm. If you're in Butternut, please go now, right now. it's lovely. I always send people over there. When you have only one, like say one grocery store or one gas station or 1111,
right.
It allows you to be free and be yourself as opposed to like say, urban, say, I use Madison because I love Madison, but say the suburb, there's always an Olive Garden. There's always, Cracker Barrel and whatever. You've got that homogenized sort of culture. Mm. When you think about cultures in other, like say Europe, when you think about, what is that culture really like? What you're actually thinking about is the rural culture. Urban cultures become pretty not monolithic, but very much
the same.
So I love the fact that it's very cozy, it's very unique, and that people are just really loving and very accepting.
Well, you said what you said about people have this assumption that everyone is closed-minded in small towns.
Yes.
And that's kind of the whole motivation behind us traveling around
the
state.
Yes, and thank you.
Because we have so much more in common.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was listening to Todd talking, or I was catching bits and pieces of your radio show earlier about how, you had said they don't care if you wear a blue hat or a red hat. There are limits.
There are divisions.
We don't really like, if you're super far left, be careful if you're super far right, maybe. But everything in between, like, hey, we're just here to, be with each other and accept each other and listen and learn and grow.
And we all want the same things.
Well, our interests are all identical. We want
a nice place to live, decent job, schools for our kids, to be able to have someplace to go if you get sick.
Right, exactly.
I just think, again, with politics in particular, yes. It is so easy to say, well, this is a yes. division and this yes. is a division yes. and this yes. is a division. Yes. When, and Todd has said this repeatedly too, we have so many more things that bring us together.
Oh my gosh.
That,
yes.
that we
yes.
that we need to highlight and focus.
Oh, yes, yes.
I think it's also a product of the 24-hour news yes. cycle where they, in order to manufacture outrage and anger, they have to enforce these divides where when you talk to the people on the ground, the voters, the ones who are affected by the big decisions, they affect everyone. And
right.
like you said, there are people who are super far left, there are people who are super far right, and you know, live your life, do your thing.
Yeah.
But in the middle, some people are saying, like, I just need my school to be better
right.
for my kids.
Exactly.
I need there to be access to a hospital
right.
further
right.
and closer than an hour and a half away. So
right. I need clean water.
Yes. yes.
Just like basics.
Really, very
You're just so demanding, Kelly. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, they're all things that people could
yeah.
get on board together with.
Yeah.
And I think when we start to deliberately create divides, we just whip each other into a frenzy and yeah. nobody's listening.
But you make a great point in that, unfortunately, with the media landscape the way that it is, outrage sells
oh.
and division sells.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what gets clicked. What gets clicks and justifies that approach.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes money, but that's not what we're here to talk about, honestly.
Sorry.
Well, no.
Yeah.
No,
sorry,
that's
yeah.
no that no that's well, that is what we're here to talk about. The I don't want to talk about the
yeah.
rage factories.
Right.
This is what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk to the people, and that's why, as you said, we get on the road,
yeah.
we go out and meet people and have conversations, because that's the only way. I mean, I'm my whole life as a city boy, whether it's suburban or urban, I'm a city boy. And when I get to places like this, it's about understanding the needs of other people, as far as like small business owners, people who have farmland, people who are, you know, just doing their lives differently than I know. So I understand from my own perspective, because I can say what I believe, but I also want to factor in other people's wishes and desires and that, so I can be more open-minded. So that's the point of coming here, is understanding those things.
And isn't that the whole point of travel?
Well, yes.
Yes.
And once you meet people, it's a lot harder to stereotype them.
Yes.
It's a
yeah.
lot harder to put
yeah.
them in a box.
Absolutely.
Everything becomes much more nuanced and real and, like I said, authentic. So, yeah, God bless you for
getting
on the
board. We are so delighted to be here. We are just delighted to be here. If you are just joining us, we are broadcasting live. It's day two from Matt Nair on Air and the Todd Alba Show out on the road.
Mm-hmm.
We love Wisconsin. We're at the Fanatical Fish Gallery along with the owner, Kelly Meredith, right here in downtown Butternut. If you are in the area, please stop by. We would love to meet you and say
yeah.
hello.
I would like you to stop by. Please.
Absolutely. You have some beautiful things here
thanks.
We'll get to in a minute. But if you are watching in the stream, you can see this incredible piece behind us. I want you to talk a little bit about what you're doing with these kinds of pieces.
Okay, so this piece, I'm almost done. I'm waiting for the client to approve it. So that'll take a couple days. this is for Port Washington, but this is typical of the kind of work I do. The initial thing was to apparently, they had one of the first talkie movies.
In Port Washington.
Yeah, exactly, oddly enough, in 1928. And at the poster there, the alias Jimmy Valentine, I'm not a movie person, I don't know what that is. I don't need to know what that is. They want, and then this is going on the east and south wall of this actual theater. It's not a theater anymore, it's called Java Dock Coffee. It's a funky coffee shop. But anyway, so they want to honor their history, this little anecdotal history. A lot of the way these projects get funded, though, is as you see all the people are actually sponsored. So each person's a loved one paid for them to be
part of this.
Now, this is a little trickier because obviously they need to feature the 1920s. So I have to morph these people to fit. So like your glasses, which would be the classic.
Right.
You know, there's a style of glasses, you know, so that gets changed. Hairstyles are a biggie, especially women's hairstyles.
I bet.
You know, in fact, I'm getting a little blowback on one of them because she has in real life, she has beautiful 1950s, gorgeous long locks. And of course, that wasn't the typical hairstyle in the 1920s. And so we're kind of working on that. sometimes, like having people stand in for another person
yeah.
is a little trickier. A lot of my other work, like here in Butternut, and I do a lot of veterans murals, lots of veterans murals. In fact, that's my next project. I'm waiting. Then it's actually your specific identity.
Right.
Then it really is you. But anyway, so yeah,
How many? I'm sorry.
Well, and you also said when we came in earlier that not only are you doing these murals, and we've seen these all over town, but also there are handwritten notes about all of these individuals that the families, because they have to be nominated, correct?
Right. Yes.
And
yeah.
Then they write a handwritten note describing the person and who they were in the community.
Actually, I asked for a handwritten narrative.
Oh, so gotcha. Okay.
That's okay. So, tell me their life story in your own handwriting. Because actually what I do is I literally take the handwriting and project it.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Trace it.
Yeah, of course.
So it's like that person's handwriting. Because we all have a story to tell. Mm-hmm. I mean, and our lives tell such an interesting story. And it's interesting. Okay, let's say a person, normal life cycle of a human, they get married, they have children, they have grandchildren, maybe they have great-grandchildren. All those people who are interacting with that life have a different story
yes.
to tell. So
yeah.
the story you tell is as much about you as the person's individual life. So here in Butternut, we do this. We honor people and hopefully collecting. Because I am the president of our Butternut Historical Society. By the way, we have a lovely museum.
Oh, wow.
And actually, Maxine will be on in the afternoon.
Okay.
Our historian and curator. This is, when you think about local history, what is local history? Your local history is basically a collection of all the anecdotal histories of all the people who came mm-hmm. and went.
Sure.
And in those stories are also embedded the context, like the industries that were prominent at the time, the politics that was prominent at the time, cultural constraints and liberties at the time. And so we start telling all those stories and putting them together, you get kind of this beautiful mosaic sort of collection
yeah.
of your town's history. And so I'm honored to get to do
How
that.
How many of these have you done for towns around the country?
Okay, I've done a total of 161 murals. This
oh
is
my
wow.
gosh.
This is mural 161. I keep track. I don't keep quite track of how many people I've painted, but I think it's about 1,800.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
And how do people find you?
By accident, because I actually made a deliberate choice a long time ago not to advertise and to have people have to go find me. One of the things I find with being with artists is that everybody's clamoring for attention. Oh, look at me. I'm special. I'm special. I'm special. And that felt like soul rotting to me. Like, please.
So Wisconsin.
Look at how
yes.
wonderful I am. And I'm like, no, I don't want to play that game. So I'm out there. People find me by other work.
And
know?
It's word of mouth.
It's word of mouth. It's piece by piece by piece by piece.
And from conception to putting this up here to the very end where you say, I'm done, how long do one of these take you on average?
Okay, this one yesterday was day 22 on this. So 22 days from start to finish to get this
That's
going.
Amazing. Oh, we're going to continue talking with Kelly Meredith. She's the owner of the Fanatical Fish Gallery here in downtown Butternut. We are broadcasting live, Matt Nair on air and the Todd Alba Show on the road. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach coming to you live from Butternut, Wisconsin. We are at the Fanatical Fish and Art Gallery here in downtown Butternut. If you are in the area, we would love to have you stop by. Not only is there, she has such beautiful things here, and we're going to talk about that more in a little bit, but we have Kringle, we have coffee. We would love to meet you if you are in the neighborhood. So we are here until 11 o'clock. Todd Alba will be broadcasting his show here from 2 to 4. For today. So come on out and join us. It is a beautifully perfect day.
It is. It's
here
lovely.
In Butternut, Wisconsin. Again, at the Fanatical Fish Art Gallery and Studio. Kelly Meredith, the owner, is here with us. And you were talking about these murals that you do behind us. Talk a little bit about the artist community, because we're really far north.
Yeah, we are.
You know, we are.
Yeah.
And, but you have brochures from there's
yeah.
art gallery tours and all kinds of things going on
yeah,
up here.
There's more stuff than you realize. To the east of me is a art tour that runs basically from Lac de Flambeau all the way down to Tomahawk.
And wow.
It's huge. I think it's like maybe 27 people. And I wish I could recite the website you can go to, but I'll try to do that later. Point being, it's where all the artist studios are open on this one particular day, and it's there's actually two art tours. The one in the summer is, I think, the 26th, and then the other one is sometime in October. Anyway, so you can go to these various
galleries
and just go meet them, and a lot of them will have demonstrations and explain the work and blah, 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 blah. So that's to the east of us. Just south of here is Phillips and the Concrete Park. And again, if you're looking for an amazing place to go, please go to the Concrete Park. It's the coolest place in the world.
What is that?
Oh, my God. You don't know the Concrete Park? The Fred Smith Concrete Park? Okay, you are going to have to do this someday. Just south of here in Phillips is a place. It's a Wisconsin Concrete Park. It's literally all these concrete sculptures.
So they're
made by a man by name Fred Smith, who was an untrained artist. He was a farmer. He just did it because he liked to do it. And they're cobblestoney. They've got like broken glass in them. They're kind of mosaic-y. There's probably hundreds of sculptures.
Wow.
And they're very folky, but really super cool. I mean, it's a place I want my ashes scattered when I die because it's that cool. I mean, it's
really
the coolest place. But anyway, point being, they have a gallery. There's a house, the Fred Smith House, and there's a gallery there.
I was going to mention, so I believe it's called the Northwoods Art Tour that you were talking about.
Yes, I have
the website here.
Okay. Oh, please.
Northwoodsarttour.com. All of this information will be in our show notes today. So when you go to the website, civicmedia.us, click on shows, find our show, and if you're interested about it, I'll put that.
Thank you.
Your place will be in there. Unless you don't want me to.
No, please.
Okay, there you go. All right.
I'm not hiding that much.
Okay.
I'm hiding that.
But I'll put the Northwoods Art Tour, and I'm looking at the Fred Smith Concrete garden. It's amazing.
That's fantastic.
It is amazing, and they have it's called Countryside Artists, and it's in that gallery is inside the house that's right on the park. So, and the arts tour. There's two artists in that tour. Lisa Krieger and Francis Whitfield, who are on that tour, who teach classes here at my place. And so a little shout out to both of them because they're lovely people. And then you go north of here is Bayfield. And Bayfield's really a very, very strong artist community.
Yeah.
Lots of art. In fact, I have one of my artists here took a lot of work out and put it in Bayfield because it's doing better. Butternut, unfortunately, is not a high tourist community.
Right.
And I understood that going into this. So in my gallery, I have very local people and people that I've been showing for like 10 years, and I'm getting to watch them grow. Like one, I'll put a shout out to Mary Zimmerman. She's a watercolor artist in Park Falls. She was one of the first people I started showing in 2015 when I opened. I've gotten to watch Mary grow and develop her style, and she takes classes and she keeps experimenting. And so that's really exciting to see that.
Well, as a teacher, that must
be everything for you, right?
Right?
I've always said I feel just as happy when I sell someone else's work as I do with my own. It's like, yay, you had an opportunity. You know, and having sold my own work, it never gets old selling your own work. It's like, oh, somebody
liked that.
Somebody likes me.
Well, and I think too, it, just in talking to you, when we were talking a little bit earlier just about stereotypes that people have.
Yes.
And I think us urban dwellers can be a bit snobbish and think we are the center of the world and we are the only place where art happens. And there's, it's a vast wasteland.
Yes.
That's not true. There's art and artists everywhere.
I can't believe how many times people from the city have come in here and gone, wow, this is actually good. like it is this major, earth-shattering revelation.
Well, and that's something that's actually, I would say, about all of Wisconsin, because even in a place like Milwaukee, you know, the biggest city in the state, people from Chicago, I work with people from all over the world, but specifically like LA, New York, Chicago, they come to Wisconsin for the first time, and I would say if they're open-minded and willing to go out in the world and explore it, they're going to come back and say, I had no idea that you guys had it. It's like, I understand we very much project and don't push back on the whole local farmer, blah, blah, blah.
Cheese hat.
But they don't understand that this state has great art,
great
beauty, wonderful business. Like and what's great about Wisconsin is incredibly affordable compared to a lot of other cities out there. So, it doesn't surprise me that people come in and are astounded by the art because they don't expect that from small towns,
but
also from a state like Wisconsin, which I say come to Wisconsin and be amazed because that's what we do here.
Right, exactly. I totally agree.
Come to Wisconsin and be amazed.
There you go.
Who can we sell that to?
We're
going to get that on a shirt.
Exactly, yeah.
Governor Evers, you're going to have it.
Exactly.
No, you can't.
For as long as it lasts. yes, Kelly Meredith is our guest. We are broadcasting live from the Fanatical Fish Gallery and a studio here in downtown Butternut. Coming up next hour in hour number two, Brittany Merlot will be here, civic media meteorologist with a little weather and wine. Audio sorbet after 10:30. We want your Ollie and Lena jokes. Greg has never heard any Oli and Lena
really?
Jokes.
Really? Whoa.
We're going to continue our conversation with Kelly Meredith on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast, statewide, countrywide, pick us up globally on the app, the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.